This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Carl, you know this well. Your former boss and faced challenges, certainly, faced controversies. And foreign trips are often an opportunity for there's two situations, right? It could go poorly, or it could be a total reset for an administration to be able to come back and turn the page and get back to what America wants, the American people want their president to be fighting for. If you were advising the president right now, what would you say as this 8 days unfolds and he's about to head back to the United States?
Well, I'd say stay focused on the trip because there are big things that are going to happen at each and every one of these stops. Saudi Arabia, Israel, a visit to the Vatican, a major meetings with our allies, a NATO meeting. Stay focused on that. Because what he can do on that will have long on this trip will have long-term consequences for the country and for his presidency. And when he comes back, realize that he'll have a little bit of a wind in his back. So take advantage of that by being focused on big, important things. This is a moment to pivot. Stop tweeting about fake news. Stop making any comment whatsoever about Russia and the FBI investigation and the congressional investigations. This is a moment to come back and elevate yourself. You will, a president when he travels abroad, by nature, appears presidential. Whatever that term means, it's like good art. Every American understands when we see our president acting in the way that we want. And he's going to look great on this trip, I think. Well scripted, right venues, people willing and ready to give him a good hearing, eager to meet him, eager to be with him. When he comes back, take advantage of that by taking a moment to reset here at home.
Carl Rove with his advice to Donald Trump. No doubt. I mean, Carl had it right on that it would be a successful trip. The president and the team look outstanding. The reception that he received there in Saudi Arabia and now Israel, they've absolutely embraced this president. What is really stark to me is the contrast between President Obama and Donald Trump. And I think quite ironic because, what's coming out loud and clear is people's lack of understanding of the dynamic that exists in the Arab world and the conflict and the Hatfields and the McCoys dynamic that goes on between Sunni and Shia. And it would appear that there's been enough slaughtering of Muslims. We talk about the Christian attacks, but a lot of Muslims have been attacked, and they've been the primary, victims, you could say, in a lot of ways, if not as much, certainly more. I think the numbers would indicate more, and that would seem to make sense. And so you've got the Arab world up in arms and find themselves where they've got to find alliances here. And it would appear that they didn't find the alliances that they had hoped to have with one Barack Obama, which is quite interesting because, people have asked me, from time to time, they go, do you think he's a Muslim? I said, I don't, he says he's a Christian. I'll leave him for his word. I'm not going to challenge that. But certainly he is very sympathetic to the Muslim world. But I think he was only sympathetic maybe more to one side than the other. And that seemed to come out in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you caught that or not. And it was also, I thought it was very cool to watch the president and the sword dance, right? And there are billboards all over the place. I mean, clearly, this was a reset for the Saudis, and they took full advantage of this. He struck a great deal with them, and I think Jared Kushner was in the middle of that successful negotiation as well as Boeing. And so things are looking very positive here, and it's quite encouraging on this war on ISIS and radical Islamism. And, we'll see how this continues to play out. But it was a huge reset there in Saudi Arabia, no doubt. And we're going to be talking to the experts a little bit later on as they come on to break it down for us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop us an email, too.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-590-4987 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-590-4987. That's 800-590-4987. 800-590-4987.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Israel has built one of the world's great civilizations, a strong, resilient, determined, and prosperous nation. It is also a nation forged in the commitment that we will never allow the horrors and atrocities of the last century to be repeated. Now we must work together to build a future where the nations of the region are at peace and all of our children can grow and grow up strong and grow up free from terrorism and violence. During my travels in recent days, I have found new reasons for hope. I have just concluded a visit to Saudi Arabia, where yesterday I met with King Salman and with the leaders from across the Muslim and Arab world. In that visit, we reached historic agreements to pursue greater and greater cooperation in the fight against terrorism and its evil ideology. My future travels will take me to visit Pope Francis at the Vatican and then our NATO and European allies. We have before us a rare opportunity to bring security and stability and peace to this region and to its people, defeating terrorism and creating a future of harmony, prosperity, and peace. But we can only get there working together. There is no other way. Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, I look forward to working closely with both of you during my stay. We love Israel. We respect Israel. And I send your people the warmest greetings from your friend and ally, all of the people in the United States of America. We are with you. Thank you and God bless you. Thank you.
And Donald Trump reaffirming our relationship with Israel upon his visit there. And, of course, you know there has to be some controversy regardless. And, you know, we mentioned that previously that, you know, during the campaign that then candidate Trump had said that he saw a time when, you know, the capital that the United States would acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And of course, with that comes all kinds of controversy, especially in light of what the Palestinians are trying to negotiate. And, you know, and the thing is, there is such contention about everything that's Israel and what is Palestine, And, you know, and we can get into that. In fact, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking with, you know, Dr. William Grady, who has done just an incredible amount of research. We'll take us back in the history of Israel and the holy ground that it is in his new book titled Holy Ground. And so he'll be on a little bit later, and maybe you'll have a little bit more understanding about the importance of the history of Jerusalem and why this conflict continues between Palestine and Israel. But along the way, of course, as you say, you know, the media is going to do everything they can to trip up this president. This trip is going so well. And for the most part, I got to say, the media has done a fairly good job in reporting the facts on this. And I think it's just so obvious. I think, you know, the president's and the team is doing just so well and doing such a solid job. They're hard pressed to come up with controversy. But of course, here it is. Let's, you know, stick a little stick in somebody's eye here regarding the Western Wall. And I was glad to hear U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley clear up the matter. And this is what she said, and I quote, "I believe the Western Wall is part of Israel. I think that is how we always have seen it and how we should pursue this." Haley made these comments on CBN that we've always thought the Western Wall was part of Israel. It has been, like I said, a very positive trip so far. And, you know, obviously, Israel is embracing Donald Trump. But again, I look at the contrast. It is amazing to me. And I don't know if you're seeing it the way I am in terms of how this president is being embraced and received, in this case, Saudi Arabia, and now in Israel, versus the previous administration. And I know maybe some of you might go, well, of course, you know, look at, you know, what the Donald Trump administration means to both these parties, to the Arab world. I mean, for the president to talk to 50 Arab nations, to be able to talk to them, wow, and the way in which he did and what he was able to communicate to them. Certainly, it was in their interest. They see it in their interest that, you know, they've got to combat ISIS as well, that they have to take a stand. And there's been individual standings and instances, but not a concerted effort. And I believe this is going to go a long way in joining the Arab nations to come against ISIS in a big way. And perhaps one of the biggest, and I mean, this is huge, one of the biggest promises that President Trump, then candidate Trump, made, if you remember, was to eradicate ISIS. And this will go a long way to that end. And then, you know, there's also that controversy John McCain brought up about human rights violations. And, you know, what kind of stand, you know, was the president taking on human rights? Well, you know, if you're friends with somebody and you have a relationship with them, then you can begin to address these long-standing cultural issues and the treatment of people. But, you know, coming right out the bat, I think, you know, this is all part of diplomacy. You know, it's obvious, and, you know, the Arabs know that the way they treat women is a problem for those of us on the West, in the West. And they understand it. And we don't necessarily, you know, and I like how Donald Trump said, hey, we're not here to, you know, to preach to you or lecture you and tell you how you should live. That was his kind of way of addressing that. But it's a little bit easier, I believe, to, you know, have that conversation with somebody when you're friends with them and you have a relationship. You know, John McCain cited Ronald Reagan. Well, Ronald Reagan just didn't come out of nowhere to make the statements to tell Gorbachev to tear the wall down. There had been some relationship. There had been some things set into motion to where, you know, it was in a sense, it was a game of chess. And Gorbachev was checkmated. And Ronald Reagan was at that point where he could call the question and say, look, let's tear this wall down. But it didn't come out of nowhere. It took some time. So I think that here we have, you know, President Donald Trump, not even 120 days. And people are expecting to wave a wand and, oh, yeah, by the way, we've got all this controversy and all this anchor dragging that he has behind him. Thank you very much, the mainstream media and the establishment that's so upset because of what Donald Trump is shaking up. But there's a whole lot of shaking been going on, and something tells me it's just beginning. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 minutes after.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
There was once a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
Oh, thank God for Ronald Reagan. I mean, if nothing else, just to remember, you know, he was no doubt a man for the time and gifted, you know, and he will always be, it seems, the standard bearer of the Republican Party and the comparative, don't you think, Scott? I mean,
well, I think what that clip really shows is that we've been through this before. We've done this before, where being a Republican was somehow a bad word, synonymous with, you know, at times with racism and all this, and it just shows that there was a point in time where we were fighting the same uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to remember that we are the majority party at the moment.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that Reagan found through experience. I mean, he was a Democrat himself before he became a Republican, and understood in terms of his agenda and his own life and preferences, as you've heard me say before. You know, life defines, and life and experience defines preference. And for Ronald Reagan, conservatism came out loud and clear. It wasn't something he always embraced. But when he saw the parties starting to go in their you know, different directions, it became obvious that the Republican Party was a better home for him and a better fit. You know, issues of life and self-responsibility were found more in the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party. The Democrats say, look at, you know, they have a lot of compassion. And as we've been talking about, the difference between compassion and justice. Well, you know, once you begin to go down that road of compassion, you always do it at somebody's expense. Now, I guess compassion might be considered the original populist message. But it's very dangerous when you think you're going to take from someone and give to the other. And that's, you know, whether it was the Obama administration or anything that came out of socialist Democrats, it's that idea. But it's all a ruse, because there's never enough money to be compassionate to everybody. It's always going to be at somebody's expense. And so let's take the hard work and the earnings of someone who has, you know, gotten up every morning and done the right thing and earned money for their family. And let's take it away from them and give it to somebody who is less fortunate by circumstances, probably in too many cases, less fortunate by their own doing. And I know that some people might sit there and say, well, wait a minute, you know, I was born into this. Well, we hear the stories time and again, you know, like Dr. Ben Carson, who was born into a situation that there was no way that he was supposed to have been successful. Nick Sanchez, I mean, he was part of the Pedro Pan, the Peter Pan dynamic out of Cuba. I mean, he's, what, 13 years old? He tells me he's got 10 cents in his pocket, he and his brother. And here they come. They came to America without, it was a refugee. You talk about a refugee program, some 3,000 kids were sent here. No parents, no family. They were just sent here like orphans. And here Nick and his brother had to pick themselves up, went on, became educated. He is, of course, a professor emeritus out of Massachusetts. Just an incredible man, incredible success story. And this is America. These are the opportunities that are still there, but the government wants to get in the way. And for quite a while, because of all the regulations, and in a sense, it was kind of a soft peddling of socialism, you know, that people were going to be brought into some sort of comradeship and some sort of constituency to have their efforts, you know, put into the general good pile, and as if taxes and everything else was not enough. But it was a slow choking process. And look what's happened here briefly, just in the brief time that President Trump has been in office and lifting these regulations that, you know, took off these choke lines and these handcuffs on American entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs who are coming in from other countries. It's just been fantastic. You know, what do you say, Scott?
Well, this is actually one thing that I think when people, they hear trickle down and they start start talking about the, you know, your big companies. First off, your big companies is a house that's already built. Those gutters are already set. Where things trickle down for them, it's already a set path. It's already in place. What you need to do, though, is get guys like a Bill Martinez or a Scott to take that chance to start our own business, because then I always, you know, equate it to building a house. We're building a house, and then we get to start trickling down. We get to decide where the money goes, and we open up new avenues and things like that. And that seems to be what's happening right now. There seems to be more. We've talked to numerous people that said, you know, small businesses are starting to happen again.
Right.
And I think that's the key. I think that's the key for everything. I think creating a larger middle class is exactly what we need.
And what people have to be careful of is kind of what Stephen Clifford, if you remember in his book CEO Pay Machine, what he wrote about is not to get skeptical because you're seeing how CEOs are capturing so much money. The marketplace has to resolve this issue. I mean, it is no question whatsoever. And I have a big issue with that, with CEOs being paid. It used to be 10 times, now 35, 40 times more than, you know, the labor force out there. And that's something that the labor force itself, the culture needs to vacate. And also, stockholders need to be conscious of this. I am hard pressed. I got to tell you, I'm hard pressed for these CEOs to be paid this kind of money. Nobody, I don't know of anybody being worth 35 times, especially when companies don't dramatically improve by 35 times. They seem to get that money because that's what's negotiated, and because of this new process that has come about in terms of CEO pay. You talk about headhunters for, you know, the everyday person. Well, CEOs, it's a whole nother ball game altogether. And they've been able to, kind of set the standard for the payment. And it has gotten way out of whack. So Stephen Clifford's book on that issue, I understand. And I understand why the everyman, the forgotten man, Main Street America, can look at this and go, whoa, what is wrong with this? And then with the reality of the numbers, I mean, they knew CEOs were getting paid better, flying around in these jets and, you know, the clothes they wear. They know they're getting paid, but I'm sure that many people did not realize that they're being paid at the rate that they are today. I mean, it's, but you look at that and you can get absolutely cynical and think that's the way it is. And so why should I work? Why should I compete? Well, you compete because, that is the right thing to do. And that's what makes you happy. You know, for people who are non-productive, people who are not doing what it is that their talents and giftings have called them to do, are very frustrated and very unhappy people. Whether they're in the workforce or just waiting to get a job, but you can't wait to get a job. You know, like my old pastor friend, Ken Spark, says that, you have 40 hours a week to give. 40 hours a week. You either have a job or you have 40 hours looking for a job. I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me, and that's my encouragement to you. Thank you so much for being with us. The conversation continues here with Bill Martinez Live. Bruce Thatcher, yes, history speaks. My favorite immigration consultant who wrote a great book on immigration has a new book to talk about. He's coming up next right here. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
From CBN Documentaries comes a new film, In Our Hands, The Battle for Jerusalem, the extraordinary true story of the Six-Day War.
Our goal is clear, to wipe Israel off the map.
For 6 days in 1967, surrounded by enemies on all sides, Israel stood alone.
The time has come.
And changed history.
To begin a battle of annihilation.
In Our Hands, The Battle for Jerusalem. In select movie theaters for a special one-night event, Tuesday, May 23rd. For theaters and tickets, go to InOurHands1967.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
It's all about freedom, ladies and gentlemen, and don't let go of that. It is so key. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. As promised, Bruce Thatcher is with us. Bruce is the author of the breakthrough book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. The founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history, help us avoid making the same mistakes. What a novel concept, right? Well, he's just released a new book, Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. It examines the history of 4 expired nations to validate the premise that rejection of the basic values on which a nation is founded leads inexorably to decline and extinction. Bruce Thatcher, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine and delighted to be here, Bill.
Well, Bruce, congratulations on the book. I know for many people who think about this country and are concerned about this country, on one hand say we are so blessed, and we've been so blessed in the 200 plus years of this great American experiment, but we see that we're becoming unhinged and letting go of these founding principles, and this is really throwing us into chaos. And our thought leaders and those who are in positions of influence, legislatively, politically, and so on, seem to think that for some reason, just like with housing and other economic issues, that they should just be, you know, continuing no matter what.
Well, they do, and their point of view, I think, and the point of view of far too many of the leaders is a very, very short-term point of view, having to do with the furthering of mostly of their own agenda and their own interests. Rise and Decline talks about the nation, the effects on nations, and most particularly the United States in our situation, and points out that these things have long-term consequences for for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we need to think about that because we're doing a lot of things. I think we have been doing a lot of things that is undermining that potential future. Rise and Decline, the title points out and essentially establishes that all nations go through a life cycle starting with founding or birth and rising and maturing and declining and finally perish. They go out of existence. The second part of it, where we are and what we can do about it, has to do with the United States, and that's the biggest piece of the book.
Right. Well, and as you say, like the sun, you know, coming up in the morning and the moon coming up at night, there are patterns and there are cycles that occur. And empirically, and as we look over history, all nations have gone through this cycle. None have been able to avoid it here to speak to. The only one unique nation you could probably look at is Israel.
Well, Israel is still, in terms of history, Israel is a very young nation. Mm-hmm. It has distinctly gone through phases of this cycle. I haven't studied Israel in terms of its life cycle kind of thing. So I couldn't say exactly where it is, but I suspect it's still in the rising portion of its life cycle. And
well, that would be its new life cycle since 1948.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Relatively new, but nonetheless it's gone through its cycle and what other country like Israel has gone away to be no more, but yet suddenly in one day, as the Bible states, it came to life once again.
Well, Israel, the people of Israel have gone through, you're right, they've gone through many life cycles. Israel has risen, shined, and it's been obliterated, and the people dispersed, and they've come back, and they've done it again. In my examination, I deal with life cycles of in that case, each iteration. Each nation defined as a political entity, and there's probably, you're right, there's a number of studies potentially just associated with the people in Israel.
Well, in your book, Rise and Decline, the empirical evidence that you approve in this book, give an example of the nations that you studied.
Well, we studied four nations that have gone all the way through that cycle. Ancient Athens. Mm-hmm. The Roman Republic. An interesting one was the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, which had, in the middle 1500s or so, was the biggest and most powerful nation in Europe. Mm-hmm. And most people don't really realize that. And within less than 100 years, disappeared off the face of the map.
Yeah. Yeah. So much so that we wouldn't even think about that.
That's right.
Right.
And as you pointed out, as regards with Israel, Poland has come back. It has reappeared as a new nation. I would argue twice: once after the fall of Nazism, and once after the fall of communism.
Yes,
there.
Exactly. Right.
Then the fourth one that we studied the whole life cycle was the Third French Republic, which ran from 1870 to 1940. So from those four, we were able to see that throughout the entire cycle, life cycle, there is a pattern that depends on and is deeply tied to the founding values of each country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all the same, of course, but
right.
The extent to which the people buy into those founding values, and then later on, the extent to which they ignore them, has a lot to do with the rise and the decline of the nation. That's consistent throughout, and that's what I show is consistent through the two nations that have not yet completed their life cycles, the United Kingdom and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I show that we are both in our decline, and as regards the United States, I suggest there's some things we can do about it.
Well, relevant to America's life as a nation, Bruce, we know when it started, but when did it actually start to decline? When did you see historically, as you look back, when did you notice that we started letting go of these founding values?
Well, during the complete life cycle, there's been a lot of activity of building and supporting founding values, and there have also been attacks on them, mostly by the government attempting to usurp them. We reached our peak in 1945, and our maturity was, that's not right. We've reached maturity, I would say, in 1945, and our great years ran from 1945 to, in my estimation, in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. We were absolutely at the top of our game, at the peak. Mm-hmm. I picked 1993 as when the decline started, but you really, you can look at the history, and you can even look at it in the book, and you can argue anywhere from the 60s to maybe the World Trade Center bombing. Anywhere in there, somebody can build a case for that's when it started. Mm-hmm. Because in the 60s is when we started to see really significant activities in our educational institutions that began to diminish these founding values.
Well, actually, and when you talk about education, I'm glad you brought that up, Bruce. You go back, and it was the start of the the 20th century, the late 1900s, when there was a takeover of public education, and you had the Christian influence being blunted there, and so that was the start. And I even go back a little bit further in looking at even Darwin's influence. Because that seemed to give some place and some reason to be for the anti-Christian movement, and to really have science trump faith, and so I go to some of those points as well. But we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break here. We're talking with Bruce Thatcher, Rise and Decline, his new book, The Cycle of Nations, and I know some of you have talked about it before and have said. Is America on the road to extinction? Good question. Stay with us. More from Bruce after this. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour.
From CBN Documentaries comes a new film, In Our Hands, The Battle for Jerusalem, the extraordinary true story of the Six-Day War.
Our goal is clear, to wipe Israel off the map.
For 6 days in 1967, surrounded by enemies on all sides, Israel stood alone.
The time has come.
And changed history.
To begin a battle of annihilation.
In Our Hands, The Battle for Jerusalem. In select movie theaters for a special one-night event, Tuesday, May 23rd. For theaters and tickets, go to InOurHands1967.com.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, the Washington Post is reporting that, as expected, I say as expected, many of us expected it anyway, that President Trump would go to the Western Wall. And it is being reported that he is, in fact, the first president to be praying at the Western Wall. And I think the timing of it is quite interesting, Bruce Thatcher, that he would be praying there as we're talking about the founding principles of this great country of ours. And there is no doubt that this country did, in fact, start as a Christian nation, didn't it?
It did. And there's such an enormous power in those just few sentences that bring our founding principles in. The founding principles are very well summarized in the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution, the preambles, and obviously extended in the Bill of Rights. If you look at the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, the first thing it says is that all men and women, are created equal. And then it goes on to say, the very next thing, endowed by their creator, not by their government, not by their king, by their creator. And I can't find a more explicit documentation that this country is founded on theological values and principles. It goes on, certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the big three. Mm-hmm. And liberty is a huge part of that. The Constitution preamble goes on to say that we have, in order to establish four or five things, and the climax of that is secure the blessings of liberty. You're right, it's absolutely disingenuous for people to argue that we were not founded on Christian principles. We were.
Yeah, and this is the thing that bothers many of us, Bruce, is that, you know, these are really, these are our North Stars, so to speak. This is what this country is all about. And as you point out in your book, when nations begin to forget their founding principles, that's an indication of their decline. And, right. and from time to time in this country, we've had what people would call spiritual revivals, where we reconnect with these founding principles and the country gets like this this dose of adrenaline and renewal. And, you know, that's the only hope, I believe, that we can have here in America today, that would happen. You know, in my conversations with Franklin Graham, he reminds me that in his travels, there are what we would call bonfires of revival taking place, where he will go and pray with people. And there's thousands of people that will show up to pray, not just on a National Day of Prayer, but just on a day that they happen to bring focus to prayer. And it is quite renewing and revitalizing to these cities and to these families who participate in this, because they've done the very thing that you have noted as a historian and saying, wow, when people connect to their founding principles, they become a dynamic force once again.
They do. And in the book, I argue that this is absolutely the only, and it's not, it's just not an argue for revivals of religious revivals, but it involves things like that. It doesn't argue that everybody has to be a Christian. In this country, they do not. But everybody does have to, if we want to persist, accept the values from that were present at the founding of the country. And it begins with, I don't know where it begins, but it includes parents specifically in instilling those kinds of values in their children. And it proceeds through most especially the educational system where these things have been just terribly ripped out of the fabric of the teaching in our country. We don't even teach history and civics in lots of places anymore. And that's tragic. That's hurting us.
Yeah, Bruce, as an educator yourself, it has to be painful for you to see that something as vital and as important to families and to this country, that its founding principles are thrown around and dumped into the in the dumpster as if they don't matter.
We're into cultural relativism, where it's kind of the pattern has been, whatever's right for you is fine.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, we're not going to teach values in schools because they might offend somebody. And we get away from teaching anything that might offend, and as a result, we're ending up more and more with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is painful. I hate to see it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned to our audience, Bruce, it's it's tough enough that we're going through this and seeing it, but I think about our kids and our grandkids. You know, what is the America that we're going to turn over to them? I mean, when you think about these incredible, powerful, dynamic words that are inscribed in our, whether it be our Constitution and the Declaration and the preambles of both documents. How? I mean, what other country on God's green earth can you go to and begin a conversation that would include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
No other country prior to the United States was founded on such a revolutionary idea as freedom. And while many countries that exist now include those terms in their documents, it's pretty apparent that no other country embraces that concept the way America embraces that concept. And one of the problems is that it is a long term, an abiding prospect, and our frame of reference of most people is short term. We don't think about anything past our own generation or a couple of generations down the road. You and I will do fine, given our age and what's likely to, anything that's likely to happen in the country. But what about our grandchildren?
Exactly.
We need to think about, more of us need to think about those kinds of things.
Well, Bruce Thatcher is our guest. We're talking about his new book, Rise and Decline. Bruce, the book is available now at all the usual places, would we say?
Well, it's not. It's actually, we are so early, it has not hit the virtual newsstands like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My publishers assure me it will be within the next week or two. It is available on my website, HistorySpeaksToday.com. I have copies that are available there, and of course from the publisher itself they're available. And all that information is on the website, actually available at a pre-publication discount. But I think it'll be a couple of weeks, it will be all over.
Well, as you can understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much to this book, and as there was to Bruce's book on immigration, and he came back. He was gracious enough to come back on the show many times to talk about it. And so this is just the beginning of many conversations about the rise and decline as we, you know, keep this issue, in front of the eyes and ears of American patriots that see what's happening in their country and want to see what they can do about it. Bruce, in your book, you address the decline of our nation and what we can do about it.
I do. We can't. History says we cannot stop the eventual extinction of the country. But history also says that we can prolong the life of the country for a very long time. And in order to do that, we have to get back to a more general and wide acceptance of our founding values. And I'm suggesting among the things that I think we have to do is that parents of school-aged children have to take charge of the values imbued in their children, not leave it up to the schools. Schools, colleges, and universities need to reestablish teaching and comprehension and practice of values and liberties and rights, not just the legalistic things that are in the Constitution, but an internalizing of the idea of these rights. We need to teach Americans to value freedom more highly. There's a big imbalance between freedom and equality. We really are into equality, but those two, freedom and equality, are opposing principles, and we need to get a balance. Immigration plays a role. We need to get immigrants who buy into these values, and they need to assimilate. Then, of course, there are laws that need to be dealt with. There are regulations that need to be dealt with. There's just a mass of things that have attacked the founding principles of the country, and they're becoming accepted by the mass of the public. So that and some other things are absolutely things that need to be done, and you can see they're all long-term.
Without a doubt.
Stay focused.
And Bruce, you know, you bring up equality. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a whole show unto itself and a discussion that we can have. I mean, it's like compassion and justice. We've been talking about that a lot on this show as well, is that, you know, when the government goes into the realm of compassion, then who gets left out? Because in order to be compassionate, which is not anything that is stated in our Constitution, that our government should provide compassion. But when it does that, it always does it at somebody else's expense. And then it opens up that equality issue, right?
You got it. It does.
Oh, the cycle go round and round. It is the cycle of nations, and America is on a cycle of its own. And we'll keep that. We'll keep you informed on that. Thank you very much, Bruce Thatcher, for being with us.
Hi, my name is Lee, and for 10 years I've suffered from ulcerated colitis. I've taken prednisone, ibuprofen, and many other prescription drugs and never saw any improvement. I tried salmon oils and flaxseed oils, but only burped them up, and they did not seem to help. Then I learned from an acquaintance who healed her rheumatoid arthritis by using Andreas seed oils. I was so inspired to try them, I began taking Andreas flaxseed, five seed blend, black cumin, and coriander seed oil. In 5 months, the swelling in my hands was so reduced, I was able to see my knuckles for the first time in 5 years. I've been off all medications for 13 months, and by using only Andreas seed oils, my colitis is controlled, and the arthritis pain in my knees is also reduced, and my inflammation is zero, and so many other benefits.
A patent-pending process has been developed which results in seed oils that have virtually zero oxidation and are structurally intact. Now, the full healing power of seed oils is available to you via the Andreas seed oils. Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.